GAA on Off the Ball.
All right, Johnny Cooper, six-time All-Ireland winner with Dublin, joins us on the line now. Evening to you, Johnny.
Evening.
How's the body holding up on the Wednesday after the Saturday?
The Wednesday, is that what day it is? It's still a little bit sore, I guess, probably more self-inflicted, but yeah, can't complain, go a few days.
What part of the week are the celebrations at the minute?
I'm keeping my head down, trying to badge the lad, but I think there's a few probably doing the same, one or two possibly going back to work tomorrow, so and then a few still going strong, so a good mix of groups depending on what you fancy.
Marcy Quinn had a great story in a recent roadshow about a bus going around after a Leinster final in the 2000s, picking up the players as they went. Do you try and keep the full group together as much as you can for as long as the week as you can?
Yeah, no, to be fair, I think we have been out a good bit together. A couple of people might go off with family or their own friends initially or for a certain period of a day, but I think to the last couple of days we've all ended up together, which is nice, because sometimes you do get different distractions and other things going on, so it might be always, but just so the bond that the group has that, well, naturally enough, we're going to celebrate together, but in particular, there's been loads of group things going on, so it's great.
Is there much chat about the game, like about the achievement, about the matchups, or is it all, at this point, that tap is turned off and you're just having the crack, or how does that work?
You get your little when you're having a quiet drink somewhere with one or two of the lads and naturally enough talking about some incidents or some things or just a win, I guess, in general. But no, it wouldn't be a topic of conversation. It's really having the crack and enjoying each other's company. And in fairness, we've been around various different places in Dublin City, so it's just nice to be in some good company with obviously some special times to reflect upon, which is nice to have that now, and it could have been obviously different as well, so it's nice to have it.
Yeah, I'm sure the in the mix for six chat, if that's what we're going to call it, is going to we'll wait for another day, I'm sure. What was the last few days like for you personally then, Johnny? I mean, particularly in light, I know you spoke after the game about the impact that the sending off in the drawn game had on you in those initial days. So getting it done then on Saturday, what was that like for you personally in the immediate aftermath?
The first day was a very different experience than I would have probably had even dreamed of. You go through certain scenarios of what if this happens, what if that happens, but it wasn't on my list of things that could have happened. So obviously, naturally enough, very disappointed for the team, obviously putting them in a really awkward and tough situation, but to their credit, we managed to just, I guess, scrape over the line and get a second shot. And then, I guess, with that in mind, going into the second game, I just do put pressure on myself anyway to perform like us all. But there was a bit of extra pressure, I guess, on me because I would have felt anyway that I didn't do great the first day, and it probably extended the season by 2 weeks for some of the lads who had various plans and so on, and loads of different things came into it. So just when the whistle went and we got over the line, the second day it was just as if the weight was on my shoulders, and that was just released and that was just gone. And I just remember, I think Deck Darcy come running towards me, and I know Deck is up in the back of the stand, so I don't know how he got down so quick, but just things like that. And I would have known Deck for the last 10 or 11 years in terms of coaching and so on, so it's just nice to get those moments for people that, and all the lads obviously, straight after the game. So yeah, it was a bit of a different mixed bag between the 2 days for me.
Yeah, and Declan Darcy had some lovely comments for you after the game as well. It sounds from what you're saying that you bore the weight of the sending off very heavily in terms of like the awkward situation that you put your teammates in, as you said, and the people have plans and suddenly they're then gone. So on that basis, do you address that with the group or individually, or how does that manifest itself when you get back into training early that week after the draw?
Yeah, no, it's not, like, that's probably just my own selfish thoughts around myself. I'm sure other people had different emotions around their own game and how it went and frustrations, and some people played maybe up to what they'd expect in turn, and some people didn't. And in my case, obviously, it was a little bit different that it was a discipline issue. And again, it's, you know, one of our core principles will be around that. So for me, having the experience that I have to put myself in those situations, in that situation. And don't get me wrong, I would feel I deserve this, but at the same time, it's something that as I said earlier on, that it's not something that we pride ourselves upon in terms of that lack of discipline that I had. So yeah, you're just trying to get back in after the first couple of days. It's obviously it's challenging enough personally to just try deal with it, I guess. And then you're just trying to, I guess, then focus on the next day, and it's a quick enough turnaround. And the match is on the Sunday, and there's a few of us training then on the Monday, so it was a quick enough turnaround just to shake off the cobwebs and as best we could by the Thursday, Friday, to have full mental and physical focus going into the game then, the second, the replay game.
So it sounds like you're happy enough that the decision was the right one then on the day?
Yeah, I think they're fine margins, but I guess technically, yeah, probably. I guess I would, as I said, I believe that you do get what you deserve, and I put myself in those situations, and I don't know what the referees do in terms of their debrief and what exactly the technical aspects of the fouls were, but I would have felt fine lines, but at the same time, technically, probably the correct call.
I think I'm right to say, and correct me if I'm wrong, that all the fouls that day were on David Clifford. Like, if you discount the black card, what's your own review if you sit down to look at the game and how you were going up to that point?
Yeah, well, like any top class inter-county forward that you come up against, and David Clifford is obviously one of them, that you're not going to win every ball. He's not going to not score in a game because he doesn't need much room to do so. In terms of my own performance, taking out the two or three fouls, I was doing okay. Probably under a little bit of pressure in terms of some of the balls coming in, but I wouldn't have felt really far away in terms of me being able to contain and control the situation. I probably then accelerate that issue, and I probably fell into a trap or two. And in fairness, he's good at it too. But probably doing okay. But my performances this year in general probably leave a lot of room to improve. So it's nice to now have that exciting part of the winter to challenge myself and try, I guess, push on and do a little bit better. So if I do happen to be involved again, that I have a bit of a better footing in a situation like that.
Yeah, and like, would that have been the sort of thing, because it was so close to half-time, obviously, when it happened, that you would have felt that getting into the dressing room and regrouping, again, outside of the black card aspect of it, that regrouping, and actually you could have got the better of that match-up in the second half?
Yeah, I think half-time was a crucial part, I guess, in the sense of if you just got into half-time, you would have been able to, but personally and collectively, you would have been able to, I guess, just refocus, and, they could have taking me off, or they could have switched it. That's what they wanted to do. That was probably in his head. Maybe just get into half time. They probably should, and do have the experience to know that half time is very close. So if you look at the second game, I don't think I was personally involved in any contact kind of discipline issues. So just goes to show you that when you have it in your head in terms of staying composed and in control, there is that ability within me to actually be 100% on the right side. So yeah, tight calls, but I guess it was just tricky the way it happened.
Yeah, you've mentioned the switch, the potential of a switch or been moved out the pitch or whatever it might have been. Did you feel in the heat of battle at that time that was an option that the management team might have been looking at, or are you just so focused on the job at hand, it's next ball every time?
I think you just focused on the job at hand. Even like, you're certainly aware of it in terms of being on a yellow card already, but at the same time, my game is kind of built around attacking first phase and trying to, I guess, aggressively influence the ball carrier or the ball to go in a different direction. And I probably just didn't control that, which was probably a little bit over anxious, maybe to actually get that ball and not staying in control. So yeah, it was a tricky one, but it's certainly something that I've learned a lot from. Which is nice to say now, but at the time it was the ground. You wanted the ground to swallow you up and just kind of get away from everything. But just very thankful, I guess, now.
Yeah, all's well that ends well, obviously, in that regard. So just in terms of, because you mentioned about the obviously going back to training and trying to get your, I suppose, get yourself past that and get your head back in the game for the replay, is there a point then early in that process where Jim Gavin or the management team sit you down and say, listen, don't worry about it, that's done, or whatever that review is, and assure you that you're still part of the 15 for the replay? Or does that actually just follow the usual patterns and the team is named when it's named a bit later in that process?
Well, look, I guess I think Jim and his team would I guess review it in their own way, and look, I know them all for the last number of years, so I'd like to think I built up that trust and stock, if you like, to for them to know that it was probably one or two I guess fine margin incidents that I was involved with, as opposed to that was me done. And there is obviously an ability to, you know, lose confidence and lose a lot of things, because you get a lot of, although I wasn't around social media and papers and I guess people's opinions in general, well, I'm guessing here, but I'm sure a lot of people were, those crosshairs in my head, so you're just trying to control that. I'm sure Jim maybe had thoughts when Shuvia said, is he in control here? Is he focused for the next game? So I don't know if I was ever in danger of not playing. I'm sure there was a conversation had somewhere along the way. Is there someone else that can do a better job? I'm just thankful that they went with it, I guess, in the second day, and I'd like to think I had a little bit more of an influence on the game, and it was nice in that regard.
Yeah, and it was a different brief, obviously. What was how did all that manifest itself, and like what was your level of satisfaction, I suppose, having to fulfil then a very different brief, that man marking thing versus obviously the sweeper role that you were playing on Saturday?
Yeah, different. I don't mind. I'm comfortable in either, to be honest. I really enjoy the challenge of marking a top forward in trying to potentially get the better of them, or stopping them having as much an influence on the game. And equally, to be honest, I really like the, you know, the kind of the number six position and trying to control things like a rugby 10 in some regards, trying to connect both sides of the house, and you're involved in kickouts for and against, so you get a little bit more of a mix and a dynamic that I would feel I have a decent set of skills to match into a mould like that. And in fairness to Fitzy and Davey Byrne and the other guys, man marking, they look incredibly well in their duties. I don't know if I gave them much help, to be honest, but I guess in terms of my ability to maybe influence the game, I probably matched a little bit more of my expectations. But at the same time, as I said there a moment ago, I'm just looking forward at some stage to sitting down and writing down a few things and hopefully learning from some other sports and meeting people and just training and just doing a little bit better, because I'd feel personally, I have a lot more to give than what I did give to the group this year.
Will you, or have you watched the game back yet?
Yeah, watched it. Yeah, I watched it. I think it was Tuesday. I just sat down and watched it. So, there's certainly things that when we do have our review and do that internal process, that there'll be, I'm sure, loads of things from the players and management side of it that we can take away and hopefully consolidate and use. But equally, maybe try to do a little bit better at in terms of going into next year and whatever happens there with the group.
So you're not like sitting back sort of watching it with a cup of tea and the biscuits out and saying, listen, I'm going to sit down and enjoy the hell out of the next hour and a half. You're still almost looking at it with that bit of a critical eye?
Now you say it, it's probably not the way to do it, but I think that's the way we're sort of...
Whatever works, yeah.
It's the way we're sort of trained, I guess, or built, and that we're trying to critically analyse and trying to be as fair as we can, I guess, and give people credit. And what we are probably trying to do going into the game, did we actually do it? But at the same time, knowing the result and knowing what happens at the end and seeing Stephen, you know, lift the cup and so on, it's kind of a little bit different, I guess, in the context. It's not like a game during the season where you have a game next week. It's just a little bit different, obviously, so you do get to enjoy it a little bit more. But at the same time, it's that challenge of, we could have done that there, there's one thing, why didn't I do there? And then, you know, you maybe do a good play and you're enjoying that moment for what it is. So a little bit of a different review, but as I said, looking forward to seeing what the group think of it and seeing where we can learn and improve.
Yeah, listen, it's worked for you up to this point, so I suggest keep at whatever that is, just keep at it. There's probably very few people on the squad or the panel are involved in football that's played for as long under Jim Gavin as you have. When you go back to the under 21 days, it could be a decade, or certainly damn near close it. How has he changed in your view, or has he changed over that period of time?
Probably not much, to be honest. I've worked with him since 2000 and probably probably eight or so with some underage teams and groups, and had it for a couple of years there, and then I sort of broke away a little bit and was involved with Pat for a little while, and then he came back onto the scene. Well, he was still involved with the underage, but I wasn't with him. But he just brings a lot to the table. You know, he wouldn't ask you to do anything that he wouldn't do himself in terms of the man hours and the work, and I'm sure lots of things that I don't know about behind the scenes. But he from my experience, and I probably have a different experience to some other people, in that I've been lucky enough to play or start for some of his teams for the last couple of years. But I do see him giving guys opportunities when I guess they put their hand up and put in the work and pay respect to the process, as he would say. So, and I'm sure he'll be looking at it with a critical eye as well. And can he improve, and can he make, I'm sure, different decisions or better decisions? I'm sure he's looking at it with his learning lens on and trying to do a little bit better himself. But it's just a privilege to be working with him and Decca and Jim and the rest of the team and Clarkey as well. Just nice to have that challenge every time you get up in the morning. There might be something else that he's asking you to do, or have you looked at this, and you're bouncing stuff back off him, and have you looked at this? And it's a good relationship, I guess, personally, that we have, but also from a team point of view. He tends to challenge people in the right ways and know what buttons to press based off his experience.
Yeah, and as I said earlier, obviously it's something that's working. And I mean, you mentioned the process word there, obviously, and at times it's something that's used to it's used in a negative sense almost in a Dublin context. But like, it does strike me as something that, I mean, other counties could perhaps look at the same type of system, because like, when you're applying that level of detail, I guess, as it seems like Jim Gavin's management team are doing, and it's providing the results that it is providing, there's obviously a level of success that comes with that, whatever success for each individual county might actually mean. But the process of things is obviously something that is adhered to in a very positive and strict way, I would say.
Yeah, I think so. I think there's obviously two sides of the coin. Yes, you have to have parameters and a structure for people to, a scaffold for people to sit between and in, but within that, there has to be then the other side of it, is that freedom and that creativity that allow the lads to connect and do things with a feel and with a see, a sense of seeing and feeling, as opposed to trying to follow this 10-step process plan of how to kick the ball from A to B. Maybe some people mix and blur the lines that, you know, this process and we have no personalities and we're robots and we just slot into the system and this system is churning out these results, and the results are because of, you know, different financial things and so on. But I think within that, there's a certain amount of credit that needs to go towards the lads and their skill sets and, as I said there, the creativity and the imagination part that comes into trying to pick lock a door that you don't have the key for, but you manage to do it and you manage to find a way somehow. And again, Jim would always be, you know, a big advocate of, I guess, expressing yourselves for who you are, and your behaviours and your personalities and the skill set and the values and the everything that you have, and push all that into the mix and see what happens from that. And then, you know, that's obviously complemented by the scaffold that's around it. But there's a bit of both, I guess.
Yeah, like, does he change much year on year? Is it sort of personnel dependent, or is there, like, do you theme out the year, or do you say this is going to be the approach this year? How does that manifest itself year on year?
I'm sure he probably gets a sense. I've been around a couple of years, I guess, now, to maybe know a bit of the background. I'm sure he gets a sense of what the group wants, I guess, and, you know, does the group want to, you know, do its very best and, you know, potentially go all the way and try, you know, go and win trophies in Croke Park, or is the group sort of happy with what it has? And I'm sure he probably feeds off that a little bit and then probably tries to steer the ship in a particular direction based off what he's feeling and hearing. So, no, there's nothing really. There's no team given to any year. There's no one motivational quote or tagline or anything. It's more just, you know, it's boring enough for people probably on the outside looking in terms of, you know, here's game one in January and game two and just working our way through that. And then you're into the club break in the summer and just trying to, I guess, have different phases, different blocks, and keeping that challenged and mentally stimulated, because it does get obviously challenging with different things going on and injuries and game time and lad's own family lives and work commitments and all the different things that go into it. So, again, he's probably just trying to be at the top there and pull the strings and just sense what an individual, but also maybe a group of people or the whole group itself need at a particular or given time.
Can I ask you for a word on, as we wrap, Johnny, on Stephen Cluxton? There's some speculation that, I mean, as there always is, to be fair, over the last few years, that it might be time for him to bow out. He was your former biology teacher, I understand, as well. So, again, you probably know him as well as most. He reminded people, it struck me over the last, the drone game and the replay, he reminded people of, outside of his tactical approach and how he can dictate the pace of play and his accuracy from kickouts, he reminded people what an actually great shot stopper he is.
Yeah, and I know he's done savage work with the two other goalkeepers and Josh as well. He's done some serious amount of work and going in on his off day several times a week, the three of them, and just practicing and doing different things. I've known Stephen since I was in school, so I've seen him in a few different lights and a few different perspectives. I'm not sure what he'll decide to do in terms of his future, his playing future, but whatever it is, he has my full support. He's been an immense mentor to a lot of people, and certainly to me in many different ways. And he kind of leads through his own actions, but certainly his behaviours and his values, which I know he would have got a lot of them from his family, his own family, and then his club and everything else. It's just nice to see that. I guess from my position, just to sit back and sort of take notes almost in your head for the last couple of years. Okay, what's he doing there? And why is he acting? Why is he saying that? And why is he sort of carrying himself that way? And just trying to, I guess, learn from that. And there's no better man to do that in terms of what he does around the place and the influence he has on people. And he does, as I said, in a quiet way to some other leaders that I've seen and admired. But he himself, I guess, has brought a lot to the table in whatever he does do. He'll have the full support of the rest of the group, and he owes nobody anything if that's what he wants and decides to do, because I know he has a lot of other commitments outside of football. So he does give a lot back, and I'm hoping that he realises in his own quiet way that the influence he's had, not only on us as a group, but also people and the city in general, and maybe people outside of Dublin, in terms of the respect and the admiration that people have for him and where they hold him in the grander scheme of things. And he will get what he deserves, and he deserves to get all the credits and the plaudits, but he'll be the first man to also critically analyse things that he can do better. And hopefully he might decide to stay around, but if he doesn't, then he goes with a massive respect and admiration from us all.
Yeah, lovely words. Look, it'll be a while before we know yet. As typically the man, he won't be probably releasing any press statements anytime soon, but we'll see what happens probably early next year. Johnny, you've been really excellent to step away temporarily from the celebrations, and you've been really brilliant with your time as well. Congratulations on the sixth All-Ireland, and thanks for taking the call.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it. Thank you.
GAA on Off the Ball.